Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right.
Yeah, man.
Another day at the office.
Yeah.
Do you usually start with a track, or do you, like, how does writing work for you?
It varies. Usually the time me and the boys get in the studio, and I can just go off a simple drum loop that I like. Yeah. My process, it starts from just a whole bunch of premeditated thoughts. The process of me thinking about the ideas and what I want to say next,
yeah.
You know, and by the time I get into the studio, I have to find that exact sound that triggered the emotion or the idea that I thought about 2 months ago.
Would you have more than one of those going on at the same time? Like, might you have six of those before you go into the studio, or do you do them one at a time?
Doing one at a time.
So the concept will come. You'll sort of live with it and let it grow in you.
Yeah.
Do you make notes?
Definitely. All the time. I have to make notes. Because a lot of my inspiration comes from meeting people or going outside of the country or going around the corner to my old neighborhood, talking to a five-year-old little boy. And I have to remember these things. You know, I have to write them down. And then 5 or 3 months later, I have to find that same emotion that I felt when I was inspired by it. So I had to dig all the way deep and see what were the things that triggered the idea of.
Does it always come back?
It comes back. Okay. It comes back. It comes, because I have key little words that make me realize the exact motion and what drew the inspiration.
Beautiful.
Yeah, man. Definitely. Definitely. It's a process. It's a working process. I'm my worst critic. For sure.
Tell me about that a little bit. You're critical of your. You just want it to be really good.
Yeah. It's really about me challenging myself. I think my excitement in doing music is me feeling like I'm never stagnant, me feeling like I didn't get comfortable in you know, my own skin of what I think is good or what someone else thinks is good. You know, stepping outside of my comfort zone and mastering it, you know. And that excites me. When I feel like I've accomplished that, it just keeps the hunger for more going. Like, I don't feel like I can ever stop.
Do you ever consider, so when you think about the challenge to yourself, do you ever consider the listener or who's gonna, like, the audience at all, or is it more like just self-expression? How would you describe it?
I used to consider the listener, but now I'm in a space where if I'm not inspired, I can't really, you know, do the music. You know, I can't feel it. I think I put enough hours and work to be able to pin a 100-bar verse on the spot at any given moment. Yeah. But for me to actually feel an idea and a concept, it has to come from me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I have to block out a lot of different needs and wants, you know, just for my own selfish reasons. But at the end of the day, it comes out where, you know, whether you like it or not, you know you're going to know it comes from a real place. Yeah. And it's going to feel unapologetic, I'm not compromising, and it's going to feel me.
Has there ever been anything that you felt like, I don't want to say that on a record? Like it feels like...
That's a great question. I always said to myself, if I said it on record, I never retract my statements. Because it's my self-expressions. You can have your opinions on it, you can feel a certain type of way, but it's how I feel. And I can't contradict that at all, you know, and sometimes I do come across them lines, you know, as rappers, as, you know, we always have that, you know, that thing about us where, you know, it is controversy, you know, but it came from some type of inspiration, and I have to say it. I have to be vocal about it, you know.
And do you ever look back on any and feel like you'd like to change any of the things that you've written, or?
It'd be me saying I want to go deeper. I should have went deeper.
I see.
You know, I shouldn't have held back, you know, but moving along, I know, okay, you're not finna be in a box and saying what you want to say, and that's where I'm at now.
Content-wise, do you feel like you could talk about anything, or do you feel an obligation to talk about certain things?
I could talk about anything.
That's great.
Anything. I could talk about anything, and this is the challenge for me. Being able to talk about anything and make it connect, you know, to a listener, where the listener can either feel like you or feel like they understand you, or you have a deeper connection through the music with the listener. Talking to a little kid and making that represent something and feel like something, or saying the most brutal, harsh things on record where, you know, society may not want to hear it, you know, but still having that connection. And that's what I think music is about for me, period.
Do you think about how to ask this? Let's talk about how you got to this place of doing this. Like, what would have been inspirations along the way for you, musically, lyrically, or philosophically, that got you to this stage?
Oh, man, that's a journey. I think first off it had to be how I was raised, you know, in an environment where having the idea of my father being, you know, just a complete realist, just in the streets, and my mother having this idea of being a dreamer, and me traveling the world and doing all these things that I'm doing today. It starts there first, you know, before I even heard any type of melody or lyric. That was implanted in me first. That's just DNA, you know, who I am and the things I talk about today. It's always the yin and the yang, the good versus the evil, and that's how I feel as a person. And eventually that, again, that eventually that pushed me toward the music that I love to listen to, you know, and it came from Tupac, Biggie, Jay, I mean, you know, your usual suspect. These were the people that was played in my household that not only I love to listen to, but it kind of complemented my DNA, because these artists always had different perspectives on life in general, and they put that in their lyrics and they put that in their music. And as a kid, I connected with it, you know, because I see my older cousins going through the same type of feelings and emotion that these artists are going through. And as I started to write and dig into my own thing, it just progressed in that same nature, you know.
Was that music playing in your house your choice of music, or was it the music your parents were listening to, or how did you get exposed to it?
Definitely my parents.
Parents.
Yeah, my parents fairly young in the city of Compton, and, you know, I was basically growing up with them. So the things that they played was more in, you know, there was the hip crowd, you know, so I was being exposed to all these ideas, you know, from Big Daddy Kane to Eazy-E to, you know, the Bay Area, Too Short, E-40, you know, back to Marvin Gaye and the Isley Brothers. This field of music, you know, just brought it, you know, my ideas to come. We never would have thought in a million years, you know, that I'd be doing it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know? Yeah, it's amazing. But, you know, so I owe, you know, my first ideas of how I want to attack music to them.
When did jazz find its way into your world?
That's crazy. Yeah, it's a trip, because I was in the studio one day with my guy Terrace Martin, and he noticed something about the type of sounds that I was picking. In my whole catalog, from my mixtapes to my EPs to just my process of making my debut album to where I'm at now, he noticed the type of instruments I was picking. He was like, man, a lot of the chords that you pick are jazz influence. You're a jazz musician by default, you know? The way your cadence is rapping over certain type of snares and drums, this is everything that a person on the saxophone and on the horn, you know, commute with how they hear music. And that's something that just opened me up. And then he just started breaking down everything, just the science of it, going back to Miles, Herbie Hancock. I'm listening to these chords like, man, I like that sound. What is that? You know, that's a road key. Oh, so that's what I've been liking all these years? Yeah, you've been liking this for years. This is in your DNA. This is why you pick certain instrumentals you pick.
So when was that moment in when you had that experience in the studio where you realized that you liked it? When around was that?
About 3 months until my second LP, To Pimp a Butterfly.
I was going to say that after hearing the first album,
yeah,
when the second album came, it was completely unexpected.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
nobody definitely was expecting you to make
definitely
that.
Yeah, definitely. And I knew from the jump that that was going to be a challenge, you know, for my listener's ear. Yeah. But if I'm challenging myself in the studio, I want to challenge you as well. So I just went full-fledged with it, man, and we built everything from scratch.
Amazing. Yeah. So do you feel like this is kind of a funny thing because I'm asking you to project the future, it's impossible. But do you feel like Butterfly, what do you refer to it as?
Butterfly, To Pimp a Butterfly.
Okay.
Pimp. It's a few things.
Okay. Maybe Two Pimp. I was going to ask how you like to call it. Let's say the second album. Do you feel like that's more indicative of where things will be in the future, or is it more like that's where you are then or now, and we should, based on the difference between the first album and the second album, should we continue to expect it to change?
That's a great question.
Again, may not be possible to answer, but tell me your best thoughts.
My best thought, the best answer I can give you, that was me then. Not to say that it wouldn't be a continuous or would not, you know, it'll always have some type of DNA in my music.
Yeah.
But me as a person, just knowing who I am, I grow. I'm like a chameleon, you know, and that is a gift and a curse for me, you know, but more so a gift. Because it never pertains me to put me in a box.
Yeah.
And my ability to express it and to still make the connection wherever I go, that is my high points, you know, and that's something that I pride myself off. You know, it's always come from an organic place.
Beautiful. It sounds like the connection you're talking about really is your connection to it more than other people's connection to it.
Right, right.
But I think the thing that's infectious about it and the reason other people connect is they feel your connection to it.
Exactly.
You know, it's not even necessarily that, like, probably a lot of people who are your fans who heard your last record might not have been that into jazz.
Exactly.
But they feel your connection to it.
Exactly.
And it inspires them to open themselves to hear new music that they might not have heard.
That is so true. That is so true. And you can look at a person, you can have a conversation with them, and you know if, you know, whether it's the music or who they identify themselves with, if it comes from an organic place, a real place. And we call the consumers, you know, we've been told to call the consumers dumb, but they're not. They know when it's real.
Absolutely.
And they know if they can feel it, you know. Yeah. And that's something that I always understood, you know, just being a fan myself. Yeah. You know, when I looked at, still to this day, when I look at my certain aspirations as far as artists, when I look at Eminem, when I look at Jay, I felt, you know, the stories they were telling, you know, whether it was fictional or not. These ideas that they was putting down made me believe, you know, any and everything that they were saying, because it just came from a space of whether a realistic point or just their imagination being so strong, you know, and so heavy,
absolutely,
you know, that you just get bombarded into their ideas.
Yeah.
And that's how it comes across with me.
Beautiful. I feel like even if you don't agree with what someone is saying, but if they're saying it and you know that they believe it,
yeah.
you resonate with it on some level. You don't have to agree with it to respect it and appreciate. It's just human expression. People really being allowing to show themselves is a beautiful thing, whether you agree with them or not.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a great point, because I always, I've always been heavy on vocal tone and you know, where you manipulate your voice and things like that, because different tones for me just gives off different expressions. Mm-hmm. You know, I may wake up one morning and feel like the scenery right here, or I may wake up one morning feeling like the depths of hell. You know, and you may hear that grunge and that emotion, but that emotion, it translates through the music to the person that was feeling that way, you know, the day before, or the, you know, when they wake up the next morning. And I've always been a huge fan of that.
When I hear you, I don't always know it's you, because you seem to inhabit so many different characters with your voice.
Right.
That it's not always clear that it's you.
Right, exactly.
It's interesting.
That comes from my personality and DNA, and it also just comes from being a complete, huge fan of Prince. My father was a heavy still to this day. Prince fan, that's all he was playing. And I just sat back and just looked. I could never tell when it was Prince for me.
Yeah.
You know, he had a falsetto.
Yeah.
You know, he had this baritone. Mm-hmm. He just gave you so many different emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, but I seen the way my father was always connecting with him. And I studied it, you know. I alongside of lyricists, I've studied R&B, I've studied soul, you know, to even pop, you know. And eventually all these things, you know, gathered up to how I connect and approach music. And
it's really beautiful. It's a great journey you're on.
I appreciate it.
How do you go into the studio experience versus the live experience?
Difference
heads.
Yeah.
Your mental state going into each of those things.
Man, that is a whole nother beast for me. You know, I drive people racket because I approach my stage performer the same way I approach the studio. I have to think about it and live it and know how my mannerisms are, you know, how I'm moving, you know. All that is it has to be dead on for me, you know, from the hits and the licks on how we rearrange the idea just to give the fans a new experience. It's a process. The same way I sit with mixes and mastering, it's the same way I sit inside that rehearsal room to make sure that everything is hitting on cue.
Beautiful. And talking about the musical process, how involved are you in the, beyond the vocals and lyrics, how involved are you in the music? In the making of it, in the choosing of it, in all aspects.
Man, I don't sleep. I don't sleep, and my team know they can't sleep because I just, you know, not that I don't trust them.
Yeah.
You know, I have 100% trust in my team, but I just have to be there for everything, man.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I drive myself crazy, but it just makes me feel like, you know. Not only pushing them, but I'm pushing myself, you know. I just have to be involved, man. It's a freaky nature sometimes, but I have to be there from everything, you know, from the snare to the hi-hat. So if we got to gain up this two more dBs, we got to snatch this out and let this part of the section breathe, you know, I'm there.
Have you ever written to a track and then afterwards decided to keep the song but change the track? Has that ever happened?
Oh yeah, all the time. Definitely. Or in the case of building on the track and the pieces that we build it on, it sounds better than the actual bottom.
Yeah.
And just being able to know how to be a minimalist in certain areas and pull something back and letting a new thing breathe opens it up for more. And that's a trial and error though. This is something I couldn't tell you 10 years ago or, you know, 6 years ago. But it has been plenty of times. And, you know, it's really just about pushing myself and pushing the musicians to, you know, not settling.
Yeah.
You know, we can put this in a space where it can be better.
So do you usually have the musicians playing all together, or do you do parts individually?
Sometimes we play all together, sometimes we do parts individually.
And if they're playing all together, would you like conduct or say, let's try it like this?
Yeah,
or?
Definitely. I have to be. Or we'd be everywhere. It'd be just a bunch of crazy sounds, you know, with no arrangement, you know. And when I say musicians, it's not all the time someone that can play an instrument.
Yeah.
You know, a person that can chop and break down a crazy sample is a musician to me,
yeah,
because that's a lost art, you
absolutely
know. And someone that can pull out the MPC, mm-hmm, you know, from out the dungeons, out the crates,
absolutely,
you know, and be able to break down some crazy drums along with a crazy bass player,
yeah,
you know. These are the people that I like around me.
Yeah. Have you ever written anything more before hearing a track, almost like it was poetry? Like, do you know, like...
Yeah. A few times I've written full songs, and I had to find the actual instrumentation to match it.
Wow.
You know, and that's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun because it gives me the... not only me, but it gives the producer the freedom to build around the lyrics.
Yeah.
You know, and certain words that get tossed out, a sound just might crack over top of that, and...
Yeah.
They know the cadence.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
It's cool to have just a lot of different ways of doing it. It's like,
yeah,
more moves to the basket. It's got to be good.
Exactly. I never know how a song is going to turn. I may think I know.
Yeah.
You know, but it may come a whole new direction. It may give off a whole new entity of its own.
Yeah.
You know, from the approach to how I wrote it, to me going in the booth just freestyling.
Yeah.
It usually comes across with no sign of how.
How do you know when it's good?
How do you know when it's good?
Or how do you know when it's done? You
Man,
know, either of those.
I think that's the question. I think that's the question of our artists and just people who create. It's just a feeling, man.
You can feel it.
It's just a feeling.
Great.
It's just, it's not rocket science.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you know.
Absolutely.
It's just that feeling. It's just that feeling that everyone gets, you know, or that feeling that you just get alone. Everybody may not get it.
Yeah.
Everybody may not get it till it comes out.
Yeah.
And it be that thing, and then they say, oh, you know.
Have there been any reactions to your music that have surprised you, either songs or projects, where people reacted either better, worse, different? Surprise.
Yeah. My first album, Good Kid, Mad City, this was me being fresh in the game, and I already knew what songs... Well, in my head, I knew what songs was going to be big records, you know, radio single. I'm playing the game. I'm a new artist. And, you know, I have enough knowledge just going through meetings and going to labels and trying to get signed in my early 20s and things like that. I just know how the game works. So I'm creating these records, you know, for the radio and you know, just for people, just ear candy for people to enjoy. So in my mind, I'm thinking these are going to be the biggest records on the album,
yeah,
you know. But turns out that a song called Mad City, yeah, where I'm just rapping for maybe 40 bars or 30 bars,
yeah,
is probably the most song with the biggest connection on that project.
Interesting.
And that threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
But it also gave me an insight clear enough to know sometimes it's not about, you know, what you think is going to happen or what you feel, you know.
Yeah.
People connect to things in strange ways, you know, and at the end of the day, you have to go with that feeling.
Absolutely. Okay, now I have a question based on that.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking of what you thought was going to work commercially,
mm-hmm,
how did you feel about that song on the album in the context of the others?
In the context of the album?
Like, just as a, for your taste,
yeah,
where was that song on your meter?
I loved it.
Was it one of your favorites?
It was one of my favorites.
Okay.
But I didn't know, you know.
Yeah, it didn't fit a formula, but
yeah,
it was one of your favorites.
Yeah, if it was one of my favorites, for sure. You know.
I hope that has given you confidence.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Nothing has to fit a formula, and if you go with what feels good to you.
Exactly.
That's what works.
We was having a conversation in the studio the other night, you know. You know, of course there are certain rhythms and tempos and certain note changes in the music that immediately, you know, appeases the ear.
Yeah.
But when something just feels good, it can be a tree branch falling off the ground and somebody hitting that right key or that right lyric on that tree branch, and it'd be the biggest thing in life, because you just can't stop sound and you can't stop frequency. I truly believe in music is just like that, and it's simple, you know.
Let's talk about All Right for a second.
Yeah.
It has become a sort of a our generation's protest song.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you wrote it, did you have that in mind? Did you think of it as a protest song, or?
You know what? I had that record. I was sitting on that record for about 6 months. The beat for real. And between my guy Sam Taylor and Pharrell, did you do it? When you gonna do it? When you gonna do it? When you gonna do it? It was on me, you know, and I knew it was a great record. I just was trying to find.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Find the space and to approach it. What's the approach, you know? I mean, the beat sounds fun, but it's something else inside of them chords that Pharrell put down that feels like it can be more of a statement rather than a certain tune, you know? So with the blessings of Pharrell and Sam asking me, when I'm gonna rock on it, it put the pressure on me to challenge myself and to actually think and focus on something that can be a staple in hip hop. And eventually I came across it. Eventually I came across it and found the right words of what I wanted to talk about. You know, it was a lot going on, and still to this day, a lot going on. And I wanted to approach it as a more uplifting but aggressive, you know. Not playing the victim, but, you know, still having that, you know, yeah, we strong,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And that was one record that executed exactly how my approach was the moment I put that pen to the paper.
So you had the beat for like 6 months and then...
Yeah.
You didn't have any words at that point?
I didn't have any words. I think P knew that that record was special. Yeah. P knew that the record was special. Sam knew that the record was special.
Yeah.
They probably knew it before I even, you know, had a clue, you know, so I'm glad that they put that pressure on me to actually challenge myself. Because sometimes as a writer, you know, you can have that writer's block and you know, when you like a sound or a type of instrumental, you want to approach it the right way. So
yeah.
You sit on it.
Yeah, I think also sometimes like the, maybe like the right content wasn't where you were at the for those 6 months. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like the universe has a way of like, the timing of it is not really on our control. You can't say,
definitely.
Well, I got this track I like, so I'm going to write to it now. It's
definitely.
Like, it comes when it's supposed to come, and it's relevant in the world.
Yeah.
And it's like, it works the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, definitely.
You just have to be open to it and ready for it when it comes.
Exactly, exactly. I remember hitting P on a text and like, man, I got the lyrics.
Yeah.
You know, and typing the lyrics to him, he's like, that's it.
And did you have a scat over it before or nothing?
Yeah, I had a scat. I had.
And it had that phrasing?
Different cadences.
Yeah.
You know?
Hook or not yet?
P had the hook.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
P good
had,
hook.
Yeah, P had the all right. That's him on the hook.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying that the all right phrase, what does all right represent? What does we are gonna be all right represent, you know? And I'm glad that sparked the idea because that song could have went a thousand other ways.
Absolutely.
Yep, a thousand other ways.
What do you listen to mostly, would you say, now?
Now? My list of music right now is ranging just a whole bunch of oldies.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of trippy. Same usual. Marvin Gaye. Mm-hmm. Isley Brothers. I don't know, man. I just...
Would you say more R&B than hip-hop?
It's more R&B. Yeah. Or it's more soul.
Yeah. Could you imagine making an album in the future where you're not rapping? You consider yourself first and foremost a rapper.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I think I got the confidence for it.
Okay.
Yeah, I got the confidence for it. I have the experience and the time to approach it. If I can, master up the idea and the time to approach it the right way, I think I can pull it off.
I feel like it's really interesting now in with what's going on in hip hop. You seem, it's almost like you're a throwback.
Yeah.
To when lyrics mattered, because it right. feels like so much of hip-hop today is more about vibe and swag and,
right.
and personality and
right.
less about words. And it sometimes sounds like even the MC doesn't know what he's saying
yeah.
on today's record.
Right.
So it's interesting to hear the sort of clarity and depth that you go lyrically.
The clarity, I got my clarity just studying M when I was a kid. How I got in the studio was just all off curiosity. I had a love for the music, but it was curiosity, The day I heard Marshall Mathers LP, I was just, how does that work? What is he doing? How is he putting his words together like that? What is that? What's the track under it? Oh, that's a double. It's an ad-lib. An ad-lib? What is that? You should go in the studio and see, I do that. How is he projecting? How is his words cutting through the beat like that? What is he doing that I'm not doing now that I'm into it?
Yeah.
His time is impeccable, He's when he want to fall off the beat is impeccable, And these are certain things that through experience and time that, I had to learn.
It's lucky that you got to learn it as young as you were.
Yeah.
It just gave you the ability to grow so much.
Yeah, definitely. 13, 14 years old.
Crazy. In one of your lyrics, you mentioned meditation.
Mm.
Do you have a meditation practice?
Yeah, man. I have to have at least 30 minutes to myself.
Nice.
If it's not on a daily, every other day, to just sit back, close my eyes, and absorb what's going on, the space that I'm in. When you're in music, and everybody knows this, the years are always cut in half because we always have something to do. Whether we're in the studio for 4 months, that go by. Or now you gotta go on the road for 5 months, that go by. Next thing you know, 5 years done went by, and you're 29 years old, And for me now, I have to find a way to understand the space that I'm in and how I'm feeling at the moment. Because if I don't, it's going to zoom. I know, I can feel, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It just goes,
yeah.
And then you miss out on your moment because you were so in the moment, you didn't know the moment was going on.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And
you can also get lost. I know some artists get lost in touring and they become less relatable. Like the stuff they have to write about doesn't relate because
right.
all they know is being on stage and
right.
accolades and
yeah.
hotels and stuff that's doesn't, it doesn't, their reality is so different than everybody else's reality mm-hmm. that it's not so interesting.
Definitely.
Especially if that's all you talk about.
Definitely. It's definitely a different, it's a, I like to call it a cartoon world. And you can really get lost in it so fast. It's scary out there.
Yeah.
It's so scary, man. And
how'd you get the idea to do the 30 minutes every day or every other day?
Well, just knowing my scheduling and how much I just think about music. Someone brought it to my attention. It's all I think about. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. It consumes me. It consumes my life. I breathe it, you know. Like, I can't think about nothing else, you know. And once I start realizing that, you know, okay, I know that I have to give it some time and space every now and then, you know. And that 30 minutes helps. That 30 minutes helps where I can totally zone out and not think about my next lyric, you know. And it gives me a restart, a jump start, and a refresh, and lets me know why I'm here doing what I'm doing.
Beautiful. Does it typically take a long time from the time you have the concept until you get the whole thing written? Maybe not produced the way you want, mm-hmm. but at least written.
It varies. I've written concepts and four songs, three verses each, 24 bars, 16 bars, four songs within an hour or 6 months.
Yeah.
It just moves like that sometimes for me.
When you have the concept, you said before that you're surprised sometimes by how the record comes out.
Yeah.
But do you know the message you're trying to get across before?
Oh yeah.
So you always know that in advance.
Definitely.
Okay.
That's that nature comes from the skills of loving to write in school and knowing how to engage the listener and knowing where I'm going to land it or where I'm, you know, where it's going to end or where it's not going to end, you know. That's always been something I was always unique about and really focused on, you know. Where does this thing go, you know? And I have that premeditated in the process of me pushing the lyrics.
Earliest memory of music?
Being in the living room and watching We Want Easy.
How old would you say you were?
I had to be four, wow. Maybe. I actually said this before, him busting out, it was a scene where he bust out of jail on stage, and he's rapping his verse.
Yeah.
That's my earliest memories, I think. Then after that, it would be Snoop Dogg's Nothing But A G Thing. I was heavy into music videos. This one, the box was out.
Yeah.
You had to order. You know, they constantly order, so the song was coming on back to back, and I just sit in front of the tube, just watch it back to back to back to
crazy.
Back. And alone, my parents playing it every night. You know, they partied. They partied every night, literally.
And films or television shows that mean a lot to you, or are you?
Oh yeah, definitely. All those things play a part to the start of my imagination. You know.
Any particular ones you remember?
I used to look on the tube. It could be from Dennis to Menace. It could be from, what was I watching? Fresh Prince. All these things constructed my imagination of what was outside of the actual house that I was living in or the neighborhood I was in. Because I'm looking at these figures. These figures almost are like, you know, imaginary. You know, you're looking at Will Smith as the Fresh Prince. You know, he's actually a real person, but as a kid, you see him in the TV screen. So to me, I should say, he's almost like a character in a sense. Mm-hmm. You know, when I look at Michael Jackson, still to this day, Michael Jackson is the biggest imaginary character for me.
Yeah.
Because I never got to meet him. I've always seen him on television. You know, I've always seen him doing magic on stage, you know? So I'm looking at this guy as just a figment of my imagination and me wondering how did they get, you know, beyond to that television screen, you know? So all these things played a part with me being where I'm at today, from the music to what I'm watching, and just my perspective. My perspective was always that I'm not just watching TV, I'm trying to figure out how does he do that, you know? Just curiosity.
Who were there any people that you saw growing up that you had that feeling about that you did get to meet, and how did, what was that like? Like,
oh yeah, that was bugged out. it's crazy. Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Dre for sure.
Tell me about your relationship with Dre.
Oh, man. It's a great thing, man, because I once looked at it as just me being an ultimate fan. I'm still a fan to this day. But to actually sit down and have conversations beyond the music, he wasn't just a figment of my imagination that I was watching on TV screen, you know. It's almost confirmation. The people I've watched, they just didn't get there out of pure luck. They actually worked hard, and they are human beings with real emotions, real drive, real consistency, real hunger, you know. And it's way deeper than just a fan now, you know. And that always tripped me out, because I told him about this story when I seen him when I was 8, 9 years old with Tupac on Rosecrans. Fast forward 15 years later, I'm in the studio with him, and I'm telling him that story, and he remembers it.
So beautiful.
That just, you remember that? He like, yeah, I remember that. Everybody was out in the street. Y'all was across the street from a burger spot. Yeah, that's my burger. Y'all was one of the kids out there that was watching.
Crazy, right?
It's crazy to me. Yeah, crazy to me.
It's an interesting part of it. There's both the amount of work that goes into doing it and being able to keep doing it. It's not, you know, sometimes when you're a kid and you see the person on the screen, you think, oh, I want to have that life, but you don't understand what goes into into it. But then also, even if you have the work ethic, there's still a tremendous amount of luck involved. Yeah. Even if you're the best in the world,
exactly.
Not everybody gets to find out. Man. It's like so many elements have to go right.
The
it's crazy.
The stars,
it is.
They really align.
It's true.
You know, it is so much, so many talented artists out there that
Absolutely.
I come across every day. And things just don't plan out. It can be from their own personal experiences or issues or management. It's something that is an undescribable nature, you know. It's an undescribable nature for sure.
Yeah. On the second album, you have the, I'll call it the poem that happens over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember you was conflicted.
Yeah, definitely.
When did that idea come up to use that over and over again?
It came into the process of me actually recording the records. I wanted a thread conceptually just ties in the songs. I've always just been a fan of just movie flicks and, you know, writers in general. I just love writers, man. Like, sitting in a screening where people just come up with the craziest, wackiest ideas, you know, and that was a process that came along while I was writing the record, you know, and it worked out, you know.
It's so cool.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
So, but it wasn't, there was no influence of, like, there was some old album you heard that did something like that.
Nah.
That's great.
It must have been if anything, it was a movie subconsciously in the back of my mind.
Yeah. It resonates and feels unusual, but it pulls you further into it. And then also, sometimes when I'm listening to it and it comes up, I remember the first time I was listening to it, I was always like, oh, wait a minute, I think it messed up.
You know,
it's playing again. You know, like, I didn't...
Those are things that I like.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're fun and they're funny.
It also pulls you out of the normal experience of just sitting back and listening. It's like it makes you question what's happening.
Yeah.
And then it forces you to pay attention in a new way.
And it forces you to listen again.
It really does.
And again. Or it forces you just don't listen at all anymore.
Yeah.
You know, whatever your taste may be at the time. But you're going to go back to it eventually.
How do you celebrate when something good happens?
That is the that's the question of my team asks me every day.
Really?
I don't know if it's the actual moment or me getting back in and doing something new or furthering that.
Yeah.
I think that's the thrill for me.
I feel the same as you.
Yeah, it's a crazy feeling for me. Like, it's not, I don't know if it's not the actual celebration for me. It's about not doing it again, but doing something fresh.
Yeah. And it's almost like the opportunity to do something new. Can you think of a disappointment that you've had?
Finding the balance between family and music.
Yeah.
That is the disappointment, because when you're doing this, it comes a lot of sacrifice. You're going to miss a lot of birthdays. You're going to miss a lot of moments. Those are my earliest disappointments. The idea of that, knowing those times were coming and they came, and it's going to be more of it. And me not learning to find the balance, it always was a stress, for me, because you have certain people you care about and you love, and sometimes you may get lost in the music so far, you may forget how much you mean, to the people that you came up with, or your family, or your mother, or your father. You can hear it, and you can hear, even if it's not as blunt or as vocal, you can hear the sort of disappointment, yeah.
For the most part, are the people around you supportive of what you're doing?
Yeah, definitely. They're supportive, but everybody has feelings.
Of course.
And sometimes, and in the position that I'm in, they may not want to express those, real feelings, because it may bring worry, or they don't want to bring worry or stress into my life, So them finding that balance and the time to do that, it can be somewhat of a weary situation, So on a personal scale, that'll be disappointment, yeah, for sure. But
do you have anyone around you who tells you if something's not good?
Oh, yeah.
like either if you do something that's they perceive as out of line, or
for sure. I'd be head over heels right now, if I didn't have a certain type of grounded
great
family or team that just have my best interest, not only as in music, but as a person.
Great.
Everyone that's around me, everyone that's even around this, this area, has been with me since I was 15 years old, And these are the same people I keep around, and hopefully eventually, I know we, grow, as people, and I outgrow some people in different natures, but I will hope that, these same people will continue to grow with me, because I can't stop.
Yeah.
I can't stop.
And musically, do you have anyone who's like, it's not good enough? Or are you the biggest
team.
Critic? Or your team will do it too?
My team will do it too. Yeah, okay. Man. Yeah. I think that's how I became the biggest critic.
I see.
Of myself.
I
because,
see.
Because...
through their criticism, you learned
my skin,
to be better.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
Top dog himself, CEO of a company. When I was 16, that verse ain't good. That's whack. You're a kid, like, whack. Your feelings will get hurt. But after constantly, you grow tough skin, and you get better.
Yeah.
You're being pushed.
It's in service to you. Saying that is in service to you.
Definitely. Because it taught me to know what to do and not to do on record.
Yeah.
As far as lyricism, as far as my approach, because I've had the training. I have the rap boot camps, being in there with my team and just going at it, sleeping on couches for hours. I've had the process for 10 years plus. And in doing that, I just developed a critiquing and a liking for what I know, what I'm capable of.
Yeah, beautiful. Do you have any idea the direction that's coming next as far as writing goes? Or is it too soon?
It's soon. I have ideas, though. I have a certain approach that I want to see what it manifests to, I want to put all the paint on the wall and see where that goes,
Yeah.
Maybe you can help me with that.
Cool.
For sure.
Do you usually, for Butterfly, did you record more songs than the ones on the album?
I have so many floating around, 24 bars, 16 bars, hooks. Really, mainly hooks. Yeah. Hooks and choruses and bridges and ideas. Mm-hmm. So verses here and there, songs here and there, but really concepts of hooks and references that I had in mind for other people to sing and things like that.
Where do you find the most inspiration? You said early when we started talking about traveling around the world and talking to people, and can you give me an example, just like one picture of something that happened that...
Man, it's mainly kids, man. I always say this. Kids bug me out because they have no fear and nothing. Like, nothing. I sit there and I talk to kids, like, my little niece, you know, she's 2 years old, but she fears nothing, and she has no concept of reality as we know it. That always inspired me to write for some reason, man. It don't necessarily have to be whatever the actual child is pertaining to, but it gives me a moment, talking to them gives me a moment to step back and look at the world for what I know it and for what this kid sees. You know?
They say kids are much closer to God in that way. Like
it's
they're
heavy.
Not yet indoctrinated into society.
Yeah.
So they're closer to just pure essence.
Exactly, exactly. Because deep down, we're all kids at heart. Yeah. And I know I am. I'm the biggest kid ever. You know, so I can be able to relate and communicate with them in a way that I watch most adults can't, you know. I'll sit there and hold a conversation, you know, and go back to the studio, man, and write the most bugged out song, you know, just because it just gave me, like I said, it gives me a chance to sit back and allow myself to look at the perspectives of, you know, the different spectrum of having responsibilities and not having any at all.
It's fun talking to you, man.
Yeah, man. I'm ready. This is great introduction.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Check out the space, man. Okay. I'm in a creative zone. This is.
Should we go inside and record?
You're right, exactly.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.